Welcome to One Hit Wonderful, the podcast where we're rewatching all those amazing reality shows that unfortunately only had one season. I'm your host, Frank Pezzanite III.
And I'm Meredith Broadbeck.
And join us today as we delve deeper into the delicious warm waters that are Princess's Long Island.
I'm loving it.
Me too, like beyond.
Yeah. So today's episode 3, Saved by the Boys.
Saved by the Boys. And in terms of house cleaning, exciting house cleaning for us is that Amanda has been interacting quite a bit with us on Instagram, which I love. I don't think she's listening to the podcast, but if you are, Amanda, thank you so much. Like, we're loving you and we're loving your interactions with us on Instagram. It's great.
Yeah.
And that's all I have for my house cleaning.
Yeah. Other house cleaning, I did try to record the theme song for everybody. And it wasn't quite translating through this microphone as well as we hoped, but I will try to drop it in the episode if I can, or we'll figure out how to do it next time. So maybe you'll have an audio surprise, maybe not. TBT. And I do have another Princess Diary, and it's another happy one.
Oh, so who do we get today?
Princess Diary number 2, fittingly, is Erica Gimbel.
Oh, I hope it happily involves rehab in some way, shape, or form. Drop it on me.
So Erica is from Old Westbury, Long Island. If we want to look that up, we can. And she went to Indiana University, which I thought was interesting. And she graduated in 2005.
Okay.
Yep. So according to Reddit, so, you know, asterisk, grain of salt, she was working in the cosmetic sales in Florida. And apparently Reddit says that she talks about her sobriety journey on social media.
Oh, okay.
She is public on Facebook, but not Instagram. I did not go as far back as to look up or see anything about her sobriety journey. But what's crazy is that if you scroll really far back, you can see old photos of her on Facebook, like from around the time the show was filmed, of like her in the club.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, did you check our Instagram?
I didn't, but I saw that her account was private. She is there.
Well, no, but I asked if I found her. I asked to follow all of them. I thought. Do you remember what her Instagram is?
Her last name now is Bohn, Bohn.
Erica, and she's with a C or a K?
C.
That's what I thought. Bohn. Oh, Erica Bohn. Oh, she accepted our friend request. We follow her.
Oh, good. Okay.
I mean, she let us, we're following her. She accepted it. So you can totally see it. Oh, her kids are cute.
Yeah. Well, I saw all of this on Facebook. Don't give it away.
Okay.
Well, and not. I'm going to send you more photos. So don't give it away.
Okay. Well, no, if you want to further deep dive, you can check through our pod Instagram.
I deep dive through her LinkedIn and Facebook. I'm good.
Okay.
So we gave it away already. She has a new last name because she is married to Jordan Bohn, Bohn. They got married in 2021 and her husband is, not surprising, very handsome and actually gives me, sorry for the reference, but gives me Armie Hammer vibes a little bit. But I mean that as a compliment. Like, he's just an attractive blonde dude. So she goes by Erica Robin Bohn now.
She's not blonde.
I can't debate hair color with you because I will always lose. But I'm just saying, like,
Yes, he's hot.
Yes.
He's a good looking dude.
Yes, yeah. He looks like he could have modeled for Abercrombie.
Yeah, he's a good looking dude.
Yes. And they have a son, and she also is a stepmom to his son from a previous relationship. And they are big Green Bay Packers fans. A lot of their photos are all of them in Green Bay Packers gear. So her husband, Jordan, I thought he ran his own chiropractic clinic, but it's actually his father's chiropractic clinic that he works for, called Bohn Chiropractic, in Bonita Springs, Florida. So they're sort of in the Fort Myers, Naples area.
Do we have any idea when she moved to Florida?
I'm getting there.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I can see you on your phone too. You're cheating. You're spoiling the diary. So Facebook says that Erica is a sales counselor at Brookdale Senior Living. And that was confirmed by LinkedIn as well. So she's a sales counselor at this sort of chain, for lack of a better word, retirement community. So they're in 41 states, and she's one in Florida. So the facility she works at is in Estero, Florida, which is down in the same vicinity. So her resume, actually, even though she graduated college in 2005, her resume doesn't start until 2014, which kind of makes sense to me. Because this show, we've realized, was filmed in 2012. And then it seems like she went through some sort of sobriety journey, and her resume starts in 2014 in Florida. So I wonder if she went to rehab in Florida, or if her parents had a place in Florida. Because one of the places on her LinkedIn is called Gimbel and Associates, and she worked there. So I wonder if, you know, maybe she had a sibling down there, or her parents had a second home down there. And so Florida was kind of like this. Her parents are in the photos a lot now. So I wonder if they all live in Florida now.
Well, and we all know from what Intervention, and me personally having friends who've gone to rehab, there are a lot of rehabs in Florida. And I think a lot of people do end up just staying where they went to rehab. So it's very possible.
Yes. She also, so Reddit wasn't entirely wrong when they said she worked in cosmetic sales, because she worked at a couple med spas too.
Okay.
But she's been at this senior living place for a while. And as you saw, Erica looks good. She looks very happy. Few interesting notes that I will share with you via images. So I'm going to send you the wedding photo. No, he's not blonde, but he's definitely not like super dark brunette, I guess. I saw him as very dark blonde, but maybe I'm wrong. Okay, so Erica, I'm sending you three photos.
Okay.
One, Erica has some of the darkest microbladed eyebrows I've ever seen.
I don't know about that, because you and I were at a party recently where we saw some pretty dark microbladed eyebrows.
That's true. Erica's actually aren't as thick as the ones we recently saw. However, it also took me a little bit of scrolling, because last night when I looked, she was wearing like high neck or long sleeves or sweaters in a lot of the photos, to see that Erica has some of the largest breast implants I may have ever seen.
Holy moly. Do you think that, but I don't remember her boobs being that big on the show. Do we think this is after the fact?
Yes.
Oh yeah. Those are some severe eyebrows. Oh, her wedding picture is great.
Mm-hmm. It looks pretty.
Yeah, it looks very pretty.
She's got some very large breasts.
She does. Now, I will not be posting these on our Instagram, because I feel like these are her private pictures, not from the show. Yeah. So I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, but she also, you know, if people want to look her up on Facebook themselves, that they can. But she 100%. Also looks, she looks lovely. She's just leaned into cosmetics.
Yeah.
Both, you know, in and outwardly. But she looks great and is happy and apparently is sober and has a hot husband and two handsome children. So
oh, good. That makes me really happy.
Yeah, me too. When I finally saw who her husband was, I was like, get it, girl.
Yeah.
He's real cute. And he posts about how much he loves her all the time. I'm here
so,
for it.
As someone who has not seen this show, you've seen it before, I have not. I'm assuming that we don't get her going to rehab during the course of the show.
I don't think so. I don't remember. I do think the girls sit her down at some point and try and talk to her about it, but I don't think it goes well.
Oh, okay. So I want, you know what? If she went to, like, if she started working in 2014, I'm assuming rehab probably came for her end of 2013, beginning of 2014, around then. I wonder if it was watching the show.
I wonder that too. And we wondered that about Rachel from Saddle Ranch too.
Yeah, it's very possible.
Yeah. I mean, it was, as someone who doesn't even know her and watching the show, it's hard to watch. And I can't imagine if that were me watching myself.
Yeah, it would be difficult.
Yeah. And I bet her parents were probably seeing scenes of her out and about that they had only wondered if that was the case. And then it was very much so, like this episode.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Well, way to end on a high note. Like, that's great. Like, I'm happy for her, and she looks super happy.
Yeah, she does. We're two for two on like happy glow ups, and I love to see it.
Yeah, me too. I'm here for it.
All right. Well, we pick up exactly where we left off in the Hamptons for, you know, Shabbat celebration with the ladies, and we are rehashing the fight between Casey and Erica. You know, be quiet for a minute versus don't tell me to shut my mouth. You know, that's where we are.
I really hope that this continues every episode, but I am living for Chanel's like voiceover parody karaoke things in the beginning. It's hysterical.
Yeah,
like I love that she like does the recaps, but does everyone's voices, and I'm very here for it, and I hope it's every week.
She's very good at doing her friends' voices, also.
She is. Also, I want to talk about the opening credits, because I realized, and I will put this on the Instagram, I think it's kind of BS that Joey's title is Working Girl, because it makes her sound like a hooker.
That's what I thought, too. I saw that this time.
Yeah.
Why would it be, like, girl boss?
Or yeah, anything. But Working Girl makes her sound like a prostitute. I mean, she's not a prostitute, but it makes her sound like a prostitute.
Yeah, that is a term for a lady of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they were referencing, like, the Melanie Griffith movie, but still, like, I don't... To me, it seems like they're calling her a prostitute. I don't think that's okay.
No, I don't love it. So we pick up where we left off, but then Casey actually does go outside to talk to Erica, and she apologizes that she ruined the dinner and says she shouldn't have done it like that at that time. And she says this isn't easy for her, but what Erica did to her, she lives with every day of her life, which Casey's getting a little dramatic with some of this stuff. But I think what she's trying to say is like, this messed me up in a way that you'll never understand.
Yeah.
And so Erica actually, given how intoxicated she is, this exchange doesn't bother me. I think she is contrite enough. She seems like she's listening. She's crying. And, you know, she says that she can't fix her mistakes and that she's so sorry and for the emotions that she caused, but that she's not the same person that she was then. But we also find out that, so Casey says something to the effect of, but you sought him out. Like, Erica hunted this guy down and stole him.
Oh, 1,000%. So yeah. This was a great exchange for me. There was a lot of good quotes. Like, yeah. I love Casey saying, I want to punch you in the fucking face. Like, I'm very here for that. Erica made me laugh out loud when she says that she doesn't have a life DeLorean that she can get in.
Yep.
And go back and change the past.
Yep.
But I think that Erica's apology was I mean, I'm with you. I think that Casey definitely is dealing with PTSD from her parents' divorce, and she's kind of like dumping that on Erica a little bit. And this is a high school thing. This is, you know what I mean, people steal people's boyfriends in high school all the time. I'm not saying it's acceptable, but we need to move on a little bit. It has now been 13 years. Like, let's calm down.
Yeah.
But I think that Erica, she still gets off on it. She brought up that prom dress thing again. And like she said, she's like, oh, and I know that you already bought your dress. And it's, you are living for this, lady. Like, you can say that you're sorry. And I think that she's sorry that it's come back to bite her in the ass. I don't know if she's truly sorry for what she did.
Yeah. I think this has happened to Erica before with other ladies her age. And this is one of the first times that she's been confronted about it and put on blast for it. I think that's what she's upset about. You know, Erica says she's not the same person. And Casey says, well, I still see erratic, toxic, and unmanageable behavior from you. Which, like, is pretty cutting for someone who, like, isn't your friend and isn't around you a lot. But it's also cutting because Erica's sitting there wasted and sloppy and sobbing. It's like, well, ding, ding, ding. Not wrong. And then they go back to the table and sort of manage to pull it together. And Casey agrees to stay for the weekend because Erica says, like, I don't want you to leave, you know, which is nice. But then Erica is like crying when she gets back to the table and says she's sorry for being a dickhead her whole life.
Well, and this is where two things. One, and I got a picture of it. When they go back inside, I noticed Casey has a giant hole in the ass of her pants.
Oh, she did?
Like bigger than the size of a 50-cent piece. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I didn't see that.
Yeah, well, because it's their like cheetah print, so it like
she wears a lot.
But I was like, why? I was like, is that a hole? Like, so I she's got a big hole in the back of her butt. And then this is where Erica, not that Erica totally had me, but completely lost me, because she's then turning this, I did something shitty, I'm sorry, into trying to make herself into a martyr, and again making it all about her, and like, oh, woe is me, I can't have a shitty breath. No, like, just stop. Like, you should have just apologized and dropped it. But now she's making everything all about her again, and she's lost, I think, me and everybody else.
Yeah, this episode is a bit Hurricane Erica. But then when they're back at the table, the doorbell rings, And it's Amanda. And of course, she's with
Jeff.
But everybody is thrilled for just like an interjection. Like, we don't have to keep drowning in this drama. Like, somebody new is here. And is it Amanda who says it's like Clue up in here?
Yes, I died. She's like, it's like Clue. She's like, who did it? What's going on? Why are people crying? What's happening? It was really funny.
Yeah. Amanda is immediately thrilled that they're not staying there. Can't say I disagree. And Erica immediately tells Jeff that Casey ripped her a new one. Okay. I mean, clearly she's never been confronted by anybody before, at least not like that.
Well, no, I don't think she has. And again, she's someone who needs to be the center of attention, whether it's good or bad at all times. And she's making, you know, it's not like, oh, Casey was hurt. It's like, oh, this is all about me. I will say, though, and I didn't think that I was ever going to say this at any point in the show, but Amanda's hair in her confessional is fucking stunning. Like, okay, would be in the red outfit with the blowout. Like,
okay,
like she could walk down the street in that today in like 2024, and it would be totally, I was like, whoa. Like, I did not think I was going to get good looking current. I mean, it doesn't translate to the rest of the episode, but in the confessional, it was, her hair was beautiful.
I actually had that thought about Casey several times in this episode as well, because compared to some of the other ladies, her, when they're at brunch later, her daytime makeup is just lovely. Like, it's just classic, nice looking, not super trendy.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. Now, she still has the very of the time, overly flat ironed hair.
Casey, yeah.
And that, yeah, like kind of choppy haircut. But yeah. But
yeah. It's,
I didn't think that I was going to be hair impressed in this series at all, but yeah, I was.
There you go. So then as Amanda and Jeff are getting settled, you know, everybody's kind of just thrilled that there's somebody there to break up the tension. And Chanel gives them challah bread for good luck. And Amanda says, what is Chanel doing? I already have a Jewish mother. So funny. So then we get this scene with Erica and Chanel sitting outside by the pool. And oh, Lord. So Chanel is upset that she brings her friends together and they don't get along. And when that happens, she feels like a failure. And so she,
which I don't understand.
No, she just, I think she feels like she wanted the weekend to be fun and she ruined the vibe being naive that something could be fixed or whatever. I don't know, but she's crying. But then this is where Erica starts to walk back everything she said to Casey.
Oh, and, does she ever?
And she said, it's not like I fucked her husband.
And she says, and this is, I can't even believe Chanel backs this up. She's like, well, when I was 16, I literally watched my grandmother die. And Chanel's like, did you tell her that? If I was Casey, I'd be like, and I'm like, what has that got to do with anything?
Yeah, I don't know. And also, you don't know enough about Casey to know that Casey didn't also watch a grandparent die. Like, that wasn't part of the conversation.
No. And does that mean you get to fuck everyone? I watched my grandma die, now I get to fuck everyone's man. I don't like, not how that works.
Yeah. And so then Chanel is crying and she says she feels like a shitty person for some reason. And Erica basically yells at her and is like, you're not a shitty person. You see the me that is me. And like, she's just babbling. And then we get the Shabbat Shalom, go fuck yourself. But it wasn't in the context which I remembered it or the way I wanted it.
Yeah.
It's just part of Erica's like drunk ramble. And I thought it was her like reading someone to filth, and it's not.
It's not, no.
She's trying to psych Chanel up and say that Chanel's a great friend. And then she says that at the end. It really doesn't make sense.
Agreed.
That was sad. I wanted it to be like the next night at the club with like a fight or something, you know? Missed opportunity. So then it is the next day, and we get timestamps on this day, which I found helpful.
Very, very, throughout the rest of the episode, specific timestamps, because what time is it?
11:02 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noted them. So the ladies are all dressed, and they go into Erica's room to wake her up, and she feels so sick. And she doesn't sound great, in her defense. But also, that's what happens when you drink like 3 or 4 bottles of wine and you probably smoke a pack of cigarettes. You're going to sound like you have pneumonia, you know, like that's what she sounds like. And so they're like jumping on her bed and being children. And Ashley kicks off what are a few like penis jokes this episode. And I'm surprised that she can say them without blushing, given everything else we've seen from Ashley so far. And she says her bed was so hard, it was like sleeping on a boner. And my note is, how would she know?
Well, well, well.
Yeah. So then Erica says her chest is killing her. I mean, I bet. And they all think, like, by sick, she means hungover, because she does. And Chanel says they're in for a fun day. They're going to do brunch and men, and then they're going to go out to the clubs. And Erica just gets kind of heated and says she's not pushing herself to go to brunch. And Joey, in front of everybody, goes, okay, I'm done with this conversation. Let's go.
And she's also like, listen to me, I sound like shit. And I'm like, yeah, because you smoked 8,000 cigarettes last night. Like, we've all been there. Like, yeah. I woke up many, many, many times sounding like that the next day after a night of partying.
Yeah. And they must have tried to wake her up before that, too, because they're all ready.
Yeah. Well, the weird thing, though, is that later, while they're out doing all their things, we see that Rob shows up. So I don't understand why she just wasn't like, Rob's coming at some point. I have to be here to meet him.
Yeah.
you guys go to brunch, like, whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. It's very strange. But
Joey, I also think it's funny that, like, her need for, I'm sure, more alcohol and, like, a mimosa or a Bloody Mary, like, didn't beat out her need to lay in bed and want to die.
Or she wanted to drink without them there, because later that had me wondering.
No, maybe. Well, no, I mean, I don't think she would have any issue going to brunch and getting lit. That's, I think, true. She'd be fine with it.
That's, she wouldn't, true, care. Yeah. But Joey earned a point for being like, okay, we're done. We're, yeah, not going to try and convince you any further. Bye.
Yeah.
And then we go to the Hotel Capri. Capri, according to the Valley. I love when
that's how you say it.
I know, but it's funny.
That's how I say it.
I know. It's just funny. And Jeff and Amanda, I can't. Like, they make me want to barf myself inside out. They're in love, in case you didn't know. They can't stop saying it to one another. I love you. They're so schmoopy. Let's go lay out. Jeff loves to see me in a bikini. It's like Maxim in his mind. And I love seeing him in his shorts. He's so sexy. It's so gross. It's just so gross. And they can't stop saying, I love you. And they ordered drinks. And then Jeff tells the waiter they'd like a little schnibble. I can't even say that with a straight face. And then they order some bento boxes and a bottle of sparkling rosé. And Jeff introduces himself to the server, whose name is Juan. That was very important, apparently. And they reminisce about how they were glad they weren't part of the house drama the night before. And Amanda says that she has too big of a heart sometimes, like, talking about the drama. Like, she just, and Jeff is there to protect her. And he says, I'm like your reflection. I'm like your mirror. And they feed each other.
You missed the two most egregious, horrific parts of this entire scene. One, Jeff's giant hairy ass crack that, ew, we had to look at, which everyone will be looking at, because I'm 100% putting it on the Instagram. And the fact that the restaurant in the Hotel Capri is Nobu, which I actually got excited about.
Okay.
And I took a little, I actually screenshot the menu because I wanted to know how much the drinks were.
Okay.
And a glass of sake was $12 and a craft was $36, which I feel like now is normal priced, but back then was probably very expensive. But Jeff asked if they have any schnibbles. And the waiter says they have bento boxes. And yeah. Amanda says he loves box.
Ew.
Yeah.
No.
How did you miss that? And they put it on the screen, like, uncaptioned. It was on the screen. I also have a picture of that.
Oh, and, because I had double subtitles on and I missed it.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. And then the waiter is just like, and Jeff's like, dude, man, there's nothing you can even say to that. To the waiter, he's like, you can't, like, it was so uncomfortable, I wanted to die.
My note just says, Jesus Christ, they are so gross. So then they're like getting tipsy, and she says, you want to pick out an outfit for me? And he says, I love you, mama. And she says, I love you, dada. And the next show we watch, no one is allowed to call their significant other dad or dada. That's two in a row. It's disgusting. I'm over it. And then they suck each other's tongues on the loungers.
Yeah, this should go in an instructional video for, like, love bombing. Like, they're both just love bombing the fuck out of each other.
Oh, my God. It is so bad. It's so bad. And I realize, like, I'm just not one of these people. Like, I'm not one for PDA, and like, I don't need constant compliments and all that kind of stuff. It actually makes me feel a little uncomfortable. So watching it just like makes me curl up into myself. Like, I felt like I was covering my eyes like I was watching a horror movie.
Well, and are we being, because we're like that? I mean, because to me, it seems very like surface, artificial, fake,
performative.
Performative,
yes.
To me.
Yes.
Like, do we think we're right? Or are we just jaded and they're like truly in love?
I don't know. Because I feel like it could be both. And I also think it's something that people on reality television in particular do. Like, they just, when I think about like Kim and Croy, or even Lala and Randall, it was like, my man, like, they make their partners out to be almost like fictional characters. It's like, that's what my man does for the baby. He flies me private. He can do no wrong, blah, blah, blah. And turns out he was like a little Harvey Weinstein monster, you know, like, it's just, I don't think Jeff and Amanda are not that, by the way. That's not what I'm saying, but it just feels like a thing that people dial up for TV. Like, they love it.
Probably. But I wonder if they have like actual real conversations. It's just all of their conversations are, I love you. I love you. You're so hot. You're the hottest. You're the best. You're the, you know what I mean? Like, I wonder if they have an actual, ever have like a just a normal real conversation about stuff.
I would think
we have yet to see that.
I know. I would think the answer is, in this case with Jeff and Amanda, I would think the answer is yes. I think they are a relatively new relationship. Have we found out how long they've been together yet?
I don't remember, but it hasn't been that long.
Yeah.
I don't think.
6 months-ish, maybe less.
Well, oh gosh, we should go back and listen to our own episodes. I feel like when they were talking about marriage, hasn't it been like 9 months? I thought that was a whole thing when she was talking about like eventually getting...
Let me scroll back.
Eventually getting proposed to and like a timelines. I feel like that was like the episode where they go to the dinner.
Yep.
I feel like that was discussed.
This is where my previous notes, my note taking has gotten better. Hopefully I can confirm this.
I'm really impressed because I take my notes written out, not, and I don't think I could read them again because my handwriting is so terrible.
Okay. Okay. Can't wait to have her in the Hoffman family. We did talk about it, but it's not in my notes because then she starts talking about his bulging muscles.
I feel like I'm totally probably making this up, but I feel like it's been around 9 months to a year.
Okay. But the point being, I think what it is that they are still in very much like a honeymoon phase, and they're really convinced that they're going to get married. And so I think when the cameras are on, that's just the part of themselves they want to just like play up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I hope they have real conversations, but I guess we'll find out. It's a lot. This scene was like, this was as bad as a swim shop for me. It was really bad.
I just hope that when they're in bed together, that they cosplay as Kramer and Elaine.
Gross. So then we go to 75 Main. Is that
From Serving the Hamptons?
I was going to say, is that the restaurant from Serving the Hamptons?
It is. And the owner, Zach, is the one that seats them.
Okay, good for you. I didn't place him because I only watched the first season of that. And they immediately change seats because Chanel doesn't want to sit on the corner of the table. It's like bad Jewish luck, I guess.
Oh, I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah, they say that the person on the corner of the table like never gets married or something and she doesn't want to sit there.
Like literally with the corner pointing at them or just like on the...
No, it's the seat that Ashley then takes because Ashley is like, oh, I don't care. I'll sit there.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I knew the person on the floor thing, but I'd never heard that.
Yeah. So they're out there having brunch and scoping dudes, and Casey looks gorgeous. That's what my note says. Cause she really does.
Yeah. She looks beautiful.
They're excited to go out later and they joke about being matchmakers, but they can't even find men for themselves, which is funny. So they start browsing for people to bring to parties and clubs, and Casey says that her strategy is she tries not to think about dudes, and that's when she usually meets a dude, like when she's not prioritizing it.
Yeah.
And then Joey says, well, it must be easy for Casey because she's like gorgeous and blonde in her confessional. That's what she says. And I was kind of like, yeah, if Casey said that to me, I'd be like, well, look at you, dear. So then they yell at this guy who has a shirt on that says Team Donay, D-O-N-N-A-Y on it. And for some reason, Chanel starts talking to him in an Australian accent.
Yeah, I didn't really get that.
No, me neither. So she immediately says that Joey says they need some testosterone. And this guy calls them beautiful and says that he could, you know, all four of them, blah, blah, blah. Somebody says, you can't handle all four. We find out his name is Vincent. He's a tennis instructor and that he's global. And this guy is gross. Like,
he was really gross. And he says one of the grossest things ever. And I can't imagine saying this to like a table of strangers. They put down an omelet in front of Casey. And Casey's like, even though, who was it that originally called him over? Joey? I can't remember who wanted him initially.
Chanel.
Or Chanel. But he's all about Casey. And they put the omelet in front of Casey. And he says, oh, perfect. You can have your protein now. And then you can have Vince's protein later.
Yeah.
Disgusting. And that does, to the girls' credit, is finally enough for them to be like, yuck, get out of here.
Yeah. Ashley actually says, like, I've had enough. You can go now.
I thought it was weird that because it wasn't just him. It was him and another guy. That, like, the other guy was never introduced. No one ever spoke to the other guy. I actually thought the other guy was cuter than Vince. I thought that was weird.
I was more surprised that Casey says when they walk away, like, oh, I hate that type of guy. And Chanel was like, oh, really? I think it's funny. And Casey says, no, I don't think it's funny. And then Joey in her confessional says that, like, Casey's heart is on super guard. Like, it's, you know, surrounded by concrete and barbed wire and all these other analogies. And it's like, no, that guy was disgusting. What are you guys talking about?
Yeah, I wrote, I'm Team Casey in my notes. Like, yeah. I was like, he was bad. But I used to have girlfriends that were, like, into gross guys like that, so.
Yeah, I mean, he also, in addition to the protein comment, he said that he's a tennis instructor if the ladies ever want to work on their strokes.
Yeah. That's he great. Had all the double entendres just like flying left and right and sideways. And again, he was not that cute, I didn't think.
No, not to be as gross as that. Then we return to the rental house and Rob arrives. Erica hugs him. And she says that Rob is like her white knight in his Mercedes. And she thinks the girls are all mad at her. And this is just some classic person in the friend group who drinks too much bullshit. You know, like, she adamantly didn't want to go to brunch, and now she's like, well, the girls are mad at me. It's like, girl, no, they're not. They're out at brunch drinking mimosas without you. They don't care.
No, yeah.
Yeah. And then she tells Rob all about the dinner and the fight, and she kind of laughs that she's not sure she should have included Rob, you know, subjected him to this drama. And then she's like, drama's so exhausting. Yeah.
Well, especially when you're the one creating all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Then the other ladies go to Southampton Social Club.
Which we know from Summer House.
Yeah. And it is now 7 p.m. What time was brunch? They're in the same clothes.
They got to brunch at noon.
Wow. Where have we been?
Was it 7? I thought it was 4. It was 7?
The night gets late. I think it's 7 when they're at Southampton.
No, I knew the night got late, but I guess I didn't pay attention to that timestamp. But I mean, they could have gone shopping, they could have gone anywhere. I mean, who knows?
That's true. So anyway,
they could have even gone back to the house and then gone back out.
That's true. So they start by taking shots of Patron Silver and they're getting turned up. Let's rage. And Ashley was actually kind of making me laugh for a few minutes in this episode, like taking shots and then like she can't take a shot of tequila to save her life. And I just thought it was kind of funny. And I realized Casey's wearing a romper, which is just so of the time, but it's a really cute one. She's just looking peak 2012 over here. And so Ashley sits next to this guy and he has glasses on.
Sits in between two guys. There were two guys on the couch just storms up. So there were two couches facing each other. All the ladies sit on the empty couch and Ashley just like tromps over and she's like, can I sit between you guys? And they're like, sure. Okay. And she just plops down between the two of them.
And she says, oh, you have a sticker on your glasses. And he says, no, it doesn't come off.
Gross. So it was DKNY. They were DKNY glasses and not sunglasses, just like regular glasses. But yeah. Huh? I don't remember that ever being a thing.
Well, also, no offense to this guy, but the DKNY can be read from space. Like, I'm with Ashley and that it looks like a sticker. It's big. And also, it's not like it says Tom Ford or Prada, you know, like it says DKNY. Like, scratch that shit off there.
Well, and I mean, as someone who wears glasses now, that would be so distracting. It would drive me insane. Like, if there's a speck of dust on my glasses, I can see it. It makes me nuts. I have to clean them right away. I can't imagine having a giant DKNY across the bottom and not being annoyed by it.
Right. And, like, it's big enough that you can read it watching the episode. Like, it's not a little decal in the bottom corner.
No. It was big.
Yeah. I'm with Ashley, and then I thought it was a sticker. So, but they also call this guy Spider-Man and Clark Kent. I think they're getting things mixed up.
Very mixed up. Yes.
And I think they're just saying that because he's wearing glasses. There's no other, like, he's not unattractive, but, like.
Well, I get the Clark Kent a little bit because he has the hair, like, his haircut is very Clark Kent, and he, although he's from South America, and his name is Emmanuel, so he's, definitely doesn't look like white bread Clark Kent, but I get where they were going with it.
The hair and the glasses. Sure. Yeah.
He's a very good looking dude. I thought he was a good looking dude.
Okay. I mean, he wasn't unattractive by any means. The glasses probably would have ruined it for me, though. Not the actual glasses, but the, like, decal in the bottom.
No, 100%, yeah.
So then Chanel immediately says to Ashley, like, this is your future husband. Chanel, don't do that.
This is where things just, the wheels came off for me during this whole exchange. Yeah. Like,
this is really weird, and this was more... So we spend a lot of time in this episode dealing with Erica's drunk logic, but this is where we're dealing with the other lady's drunk logic. And it's like, what? Huh? I'm not keeping up. So Chanel is, like, pushing Ashley on this dude. Amanda arrives and she says, Jeff had to take a nap. Wink face. Gross. I've had it with Amanda and Jeff already. I'm done. So then Ashley immediately calls her dad. Also,
not for nothing, Amanda, but... It's not a flex that your much older boyfriend is so worn out from sex that he has to take a nap. like that's not giving me, like, studly energy.
No. I think she meant it as, like, a, hey, I got laid, but, like, no kidding. He's not young.
Yeah, it did not come across that way.
No, it was gross. But while sitting next to this guy, Clark Kent, we'll keep calling him, Ashley decides to call her dad. And Chanel takes the phone and tells Ashley's dad about Clark Kent. And Chanel is being funny, but this whole thing is also so weird. They're talking about how it's her future husband, and Chanel's like, hey, Clark, are you Jewish? And he says, no. And Chanel tells Ashley's dad, don't worry, he'll convert, which I thought was very funny. But the whole thing is, it's not funny. It is disturbing.
It was beyond cringe.
Yeah.
I was like, this is why... all of you are single, like, that you think this is appropriate behavior. I can't believe the guy didn't. I feel like if there weren't cameras there, that guy would have, like, run away so quickly. You would have seen, like, a cartoon outline of his shape as he just took off.
Yeah.
I mean, it was awful, awful.
Yeah.
All of the things they were saying, like, right next to him and having just met him 10 minutes ago.
Yes. And Joey says, you're coming off as a clamp. And then she says she is mortified.
Me too, girl. Me too, Joe. I was also mortified.
So then Ashley legitimately doesn't understand how it's weird to call her dad and do that in front of a dude.
Well, first we have to talk about the fact that Joey invents negging.
She invents what?
Negging.
What do you mean?
Negging, where you, like, treat someone like shit so they like you better. And she, like, they get to get them into you. And she fully is like, no, you guys aren't doing this right. She's like, you gotta give them a hard time. You gotta, like,
she says,
act like you're not interested. Like,
she goes, don't pump men up like they're God.
Yeah. I was here for it. I was like, team Joey.
Joey wins the scene. Thank God somebody did. But so Ashley's not understanding how this is weird. And they have this weird analogy comparing Clark Kent to Santa Claus. And
Ashley says, like, if I met Santa Claus, would I not call my dad and tell him? Which is a very interesting flex for a bunch of Jewish girls.
That made my head spin. I didn't understand. And so then Ashley says, well, people have different relationships with their parents. She's very offended at the fact Joey called it mortifying, basically. And Joey said, that's where she says, don't pump men up like they're God. You don't go to them and you don't call your parents and scare them off in 4 seconds. Chanel admits, she's like, I don't think it's weird. My dad buys me lingerie. No, absolutely not.
No,
mm-mm. No. And Ashley, in Ashley's world, this makes sense. She says, well, if I scare them off by calling my parents, then I scare them off.
Okay, that's why you're single. Sure. I mean, I guess as long as you're okay with it, like, great. I don't know.
Yeah. So then Casey in her confessional says that she loves Ashley and thinks Ashley's so funny. And I put minus one for Casey. And then Joey, so Ashley tries to like call Joey out and says, Joey, you made me feel very uncomfortable and my feelings were hurt. And Joey says, well, that's how I felt. I was mortified. And then she goes, but why don't you call your dad on speed dial?
I like Joey a lot.
Me too. It was savage. Like, she's like, oh, your feelings are hurt. Why don't you call your dad then? It was mean.
Yeah, I was very here for it.
It was so weird. It was so weird. Okay. So then we are back at the house and our timestamp, it's getting late, y'all. It is 12:11 a.m.
Now, this is where I'm going to come to all of their defenses.
Okay.
When I was going out all the time, I never got anywhere before midnight, ever, because there was no point. And in New York, everything's open till 4 a.m. So I didn't think that it was as egregious as they were making it seem that it was 12:11.
No. And also, all told, they're only at the club for 2 hours.
Oh, no. They're at the club for 50 minutes. We will talk about that later.
Oh, really?
Yes, we will discuss that later.
Okay. So anyway, I feel like there were nights where I was never as much of a night owl as you were, but like, it was not abnormal to be like, oh, I'll meet you at 11 or whatever. Like, they're younger. They're going out. I don't know. It wasn't my favorite start time in the world, but I'm sure I did it a few times.
I almost feel like this is a little bit of Bravo, like playing it up for people who maybe like live in the flyover states or whatever, who don't realize how late things are open and would normally go out at like 8 or 9 o'clock to be like, oh my gosh, it's 12 o'clock. They haven't even left the house. But like that for New York, that's normal. That's pretty normal.
Yeah, true.
I mean, look at Summer House. Like they all show up at Southampton Social at 12, 1 a.m.
True. So Erica and Amanda are getting ready to go out. And they are keeping everybody waiting. They're those girls. They're putting on fake eyelashes and straightening their hair. And all the girls are ready and like sitting on the couch and waiting to go out. Casey's eager to go out. Chanel's ready to rage. Everyone just looks kind of pissed. So Erica and Amanda are so slow and they're just having fun getting ready and talking about how they're two peas in a pod. And so then Erica is ready to go, but she trips over like a purse or a bag by the front door and just
Jeff's bag. She said it was Jeff's bag.
Oh, she said it was Jeff's bag.
Yeah.
And she like basically falls on all fours. Like she doesn't just trip and stumble. Like she hits the floor.
Yeah.
And then Rob opens the front door like into her back. And so like,
oh, I missed that part. I didn't notice him opening the door into her back. So I just saw her fall.
She fell and then got hit with the door. That's why she was like being all drama queen about it.
Oh, okay.
And so everybody asks if she's okay, but she's fine. And she's like, well, thanks everybody for caring. I fell down and got hit with a door. And you can just tell she's lit. And the night is not, it's not going to go according to
plan. She's 1,000% lit already for sure.
Yeah. Casey calls it an insane asylum. Jeff says they all look beautiful in a complimentary, creepy way. And they get in cars to go out. There's like the single lady's car, and then there's like the ladies with the boyfriend's car. And they are all slugging Dunkin' Donuts as they go out.
Okay, so this is what I want to know. So I only noticed it with Erica, but she's drinking a giant Dunkin' Donuts iced coffee. Are there like a, and then later when they get home, they're all drinking Dunkin' Donuts regular coffee. I'm like, are there just like 1,000 24-hour Dunkin' Donuts all over the Hamptons? Do they just go to them all the time? Like, do they make the car stop on the way? Like, what's happening?
Probably. Dunkin' Donuts is often 24 hours, and it was frequented by me and my friends. I was not into late night coffee, but definitely like a late night bacon, egg, and cheese that you could get at any hour type of thing. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, I'm not a coffee drinker, but I was just like, what? Like, they stopped on the way to the club to pick up iced coffee at Dunkin' Donuts at like 12:30 in the morning.
Yeah, they totally did.
Okay.
Yeah. And me and my friends liked it because it was cheap.
Yeah.
You know, like always open, cheap. So they arrive to this club at 1 a.m.
1:10.
1:10. Okay.
1:10.
And they are at Namos. I don't even want to try and say this word. Estiatorio? I meant to look that up and I didn't.
I did.
Okay.
It's actually Greek. Like I would have thought it would have been right. Like Latin, but it's Greek. It no longer exists.
Okay.
It was a club gone.
Where?
I think Bridgehampton, Southampton. I can't remember.
I mean, the Hamptons, doesn't matter. Okay. So, you know, they're getting bottle service. They're taking shots. Erica is singing like Hava Nagila or something like that again. You know, they're just doing a lot of like shots and everybody, what is it with like people who go out and younger people who just constantly cheers everything? You know, it's like, cheers to shots, cheers to Tuesdays, cheers to black shoes. Like, it's just.
I was too busy being absolutely enthralled by Chanel's Dance Party USA moves, living her best life all over the dance floor, turning it out, living for it,
That's Chanel almost moved into MVP of the episode for me for how she is on the dance floor. But real quick, Ashley, one of the cheers that she makes or toasts that she offers is to balls, penis, and wieners.
Yes, I did hear that.
Since when is Ashley just like trying to keep up with the Joneses all of a sudden?
I think Ashley, I mean, she probably talks this way with her parents, but I think she's just, you know, she's a single 30-year-old girl. And so she's acting like, oh, I'm just obsessed with dicks and I want a man when she doesn't. Like,
yeah,
like
yeah.
It's just like her trope. Like, it's her whole thing.
Yeah. But anyway, back to Chanel. She is being wild and living her best life on the dance floor. And this is where I can totally see that she's a comedian now. Like, she was cracking herself up and everyone around her, just like, she was a whole vibe by herself, like just having a great time and people were into it. And she even says like, I feel like myself, Coco's back.
Yeah.
It was good. And then we see Rob approach Casey and sort of says like, you know, I heard about, you know, last night and you and Erica talking, and I really hope that like you guys can make up. Rob is next level wasted. And Casey actually handles it very diplomatically, in my opinion. I think this is where you could see that she works at a club and probably gets talked to by drunk dudes every single night of her life. Yeah. 'Cause she just says, no, I respect Erica and I'm giving her her space. And just like kind of brushes it off in a very friendly way, actually, that I'm not sure he entirely deserved. He wasn't being mean though. So I thought she just handled it really well.
Yeah, she did.
So then Casey actually says that she thinks Rob is good for Erica, but points out that he's really wasted. And I'm like, well, those two things might not be in agreement. So then Erica and Rob are just levels beyond everybody. Not surprising. And Erica immediately corners Rob and wants to know what he said to Casey. And she's like, give me every detail. And he said, oh, I told her that I hope you guys like get to a better place. That is the detail. Like, there is no other detail. And then she's like, how was she? Was she nice? Was she mean? Was she listening? And he's like, yeah, she was fine. Like, there's nothing to tell. Like, that was literally all that was happening. So then Erica thanks Rob and says, and he says that he always has her back. And she says, till death. And then she basically just like does the nastiest smoker's cough, like right in his face. And she drunkenly, she's like, sorry.
Well, that's because at the start of this conversation, she immediately like rips a cig. And yeah. I have to say, that's my favorite part of Erica, is her chain smoking. I'm very here for it.
She really does. And then we get this weird interstitial of them eating takeout outside the house. Was that before they went out? Is that supposed to be after they got home?
I'm assuming it's after they got home, because they talk about how they're eating Greek food and they love Greek food. So I'm guessing they got to-go food from the club. And Jeff, and I mean, as much as Kramer is not my jam, and that's the impression he should be doing, he does both a John Travolta and a Stallone impersonation that was not half bad. I'm going to give him a little credit for it.
Not terrible, but no. drunk Erica is blown away by these impersonations. She's like, that was incredible. No. No, it wasn't. So I have the timestamp as they leave the club at 2.
2:02.
Okay.
So they were only at the club for 50 minutes.
Oh, 50.
They got there at 1:10.
Yeah. I thought you said left 15, sorry.
No, 50, 50. Yeah. But like, that's a long way to drive. And the club's up until 4. And I'm like, what? Like, you didn't even stay for an hour?
Yeah.
And it's not like they weren't having a good time. Like, they seemed to be like, I just thought it was really confusing. Like, it was a very short trip to the club.
It makes me wonder who got cut off.
But I think we would have seen that.
Yeah, true. And also with bottle service, I feel like that would be hard to enforce, but I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
But Erica is, she falls again in the gravel, and they
Totally
try to
wipes
get her
out.
to, yeah, they try to get her to take her shoes off because she's wearing like big platform sandals. And like when you're that drunk, you're just gonna fall a lot.
I was really surprised, and maybe we'll find this out. Well, no, we didn't. She seemed fine the next morning, but I was surprised she didn't twist her ankle. Like
Me
it looks like she
too.
twisted her ankle to me.
Several times. I was shocked she didn't fall more, actually. Like when we get back to the house and she's walking around still wearing those, I'm shocked she's on her feet.
Yeah.
But so then Rob says, every night ends like this, like referencing her falling over. And I think Joey helps her up. It's either Joey or Chanel. And Erica says, if I'm going to have a baby, I better be able to handle a fall.
Yeah, I didn't get the analogy on that one.
That was your first thought after taking a shit face tumble in a parking lot? Oh,
Yeah, I
girl.
don't. Yeah, I didn't really get it.
No, me either. And then we get back to the house. It's 2:35. So I agree. They were only at the club for under an hour, and it took them an hour to get there both ways.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
the half an hour is a long drive for a club that you're only going to be at for, I mean, they spent more time commuting than they spent at the club.
Yeah, they did. So then we see Ashley and Casey walking in together, and Ashley says, "Don't invite me to the Hamptons if all you're going to do is powwow about emotions." Not sure what that was referencing, but I'm curious.
I thought it, what was it, Chanel and Joey talking? Because that's who was behind her.
I
I
know.
think she just means in general, like she wants to party and have fun, and she doesn't want to like hear Erica complain, and she doesn't want to hear about like the Casey and Erica drama. Like she just wants to have a good time.
Yeah, probably. So then Erica like storms past the girls, but like in that drunken way, and they ask if she's okay. She says she's fine, but Rob is sleeping, aka he passed out in the back of the cab. And Joey admits she's surprised Erica can walk. I was surprised Erica could walk.
Me too.
Yeah. And she says that Rob is ridiculous. He passed out. And they're drinking coffee.
More Dunkin'. They all have Dunkin'. So I don't know if they stopped for Dunkin' on the way or if they had like Dunkin' cups at the house, but they're all having.
So they had those big like cardboard pour out things that like you get at like work catering of coffee. Maybe it was left over from them having it delivered before they went to brunch or something.
Bit cold. I don't know. Weird. Either way, they were all having coffee. But at one point, when Erica's having her little rant during this time, Casey gives her the most amazing side eye, and I got the best picture of it. Like it literally made me laugh out loud.
Good for you. So then Erica keeps trying to get Rob to drink coffee. And this was something they always did on 90210. When they were drunk, they drank coffee. Or when someone was drunk, they'd be like, have a cup of coffee. That stop. That's gross. And she keeps telling Rob, you're gonna go to sleep no matter what. And so then she asks him what he needs, and he says iced water. And while he's waiting on the couch for his ice water, she opens a bottle of wine and pours herself a big old glass.
Well, first she walks around going, "Where's my wine? Where's
Yeah.
my wine?"
Yeah. It's not great. And then Joey says, Erica, don't drink that. I don't even think she says it in like a super mean way. I think she's like, you're good.
Yeah.
And then Erica screams, I could care fucking less. So that's where we're going. And Casey actually seems dead sober to me compared to everybody else.
But have we seen Casey drink?
I don't think so.
Maybe she doesn't drink because I feel like she says something later that leads me to believe that maybe she doesn't drink.
Yeah, maybe it's just not her thing.
Yeah.
Oh God, I can't imagine being around all these people dead sober. It's a lot. So then Rob tells Erica, like they're kind of having this little powwow, and you see Erica doing something with her hands, and he says, stop it right now. And we see that she's doling out Adderall, and she's trying to get Rob to take one to like sober him up.
And I think Amanda too. Like she tries to hand one to Amanda as well. And Amanda's like, I'm good.
Yeah, and Amanda says, like, don't, he'll never sleep. And Erica says to Amanda, shut up. And Jeff, of course, Kramer is not here for it.
No.
And
And she herself takes an Adderall.
yeah, oh yeah, she does.
Yeah.
And I think that's how she's still standing. I think she loves those baby blues.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So then Erica tries to say, like, well, I didn't tell Amanda to shut up in that way. And Jeff says, then take it back. And Kramer earned a point in my book, actually. Because he doesn't scream at her. He's like, if you didn't mean it, then take it back.
Yeah.
She should take it back. So then here come the waterworks. Erica starts crying and she's like, everyone, you know, just wants to just leave me alone. You know, I'm so sick of being judged for every little thing I do and say. Just like classic drunk person meltdown that's happening.
Full right meltdown. Yeah. Full DEFCON 1 meltdown.
And when I say she poured herself a glass of wine, what I mean is that she filled a solo cup.
A tumbler. She poured herself a tumbler full of wine. Like half a bottle at least of wine.
Yeah. And Casey is just like sober in the kitchen being like, she hasn't grown up at all. Amanda and Jeff excuse themselves and Ashley says I should go with you, and they said, oh, you want a threesome, which I actually thought was funny because I bet Ashley blushed to the gills. I thought it was very funny. Erica is a mess and Rob is trying to be supportive, but he can hardly speak.
It has to be 3 a.m.
Yeah. Yep.
Because wait, now that you're talking about it, The interstitial with the food makes no sense. You're right. Because this is all like, it's not, we saw them walk in the door and all this happened. So I don't know where the food, maybe they had the food before they went out. Maybe that was between Southampton Social and before they
That's what I think it was. And then I think after dinner, Erica and Amanda went to like freshen themselves further and were taking forever.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. But they just, I don't know why they didn't put it in before they went out. Like it's, the timing was so weird. So Casey says that it's hard to watch Erica and her alcohol problem, and she actually feels bad for her. And then she says she feels like if she said something to Erica, that Erica might actually listen. And I get what she's saying, that like sometimes an observation from a quote unquote stranger can carry more weight than it coming from someone close to you, I think is what she's implying. But Joey says in her confessional, 24 hours ago, Casey wanted to punch Erica in the face and now she wants to be her sponsor. I can't keep up. It's funny. And then Erica just keeps spiraling in that Erica way and she's crying and talking to Rob. She says, negative energy isn't good for me. It's like, yes, it's everybody else's negative energy that's ruining this night. You've hit the nail on the head. And Rob makes Erica very happy. And then she tells Rob that he drank way too much.
Well, I could see where she was coming from with that one because she wanted a party buddy and he passed out. So, yeah. Like, I think that was her logic around that one.
Yeah. So then he says he'll do anything to make her happy. And Erica's talking about how she tries so hard to make her parents happy and her friends happy. And, like, they're having two different conversations.
Well, drunk people usually do.
They do. And then he says, did you pick up on these words that they said?
I don't know. What were they?
Okay. So he says woosaba to her.
Oh, yeah.
And then she says, it's goose fraba. What does that mean?
I don't know. Because when they first said it, I thought he was trying to say like woosa. And I only know that from Shaw's. Like it's like a peace, calm, whatever thing. I think it might have something to do with weed. But yes, I had no, I thought maybe it was just their own nonsense word, but maybe it's Yiddish. I don't know.
Oh, it's from the movie Anger Management.
Oh, okay.
Repeat.
After, appropriate.
Repeat after me, goose fraba. Oh, it's a calming phrase for anger management.
Oh, okay. Well, according to me.
According to this movie, not according to science. Okay. I had never heard that, and I was wondering what the hell they were talking about.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah. And then it's the next day. We don't get a timestamp. We just know because the sun is out. And the Adderall twins, who caused the biggest mess in a classic move, are the first ones to leave.
Oh, no. We did get a timestamp. It was 6 a.m. when they left.
Are you fucking kidding?
I know. And if I had to venture a very educated guess, they did not sleep.
Yeah, they stayed up and just took more Adderall.
Yeah.
What assholes. And they said they wanted to beat the traffic, but they also didn't want to help clean or face anything they did or said.
Yep.
Ugh, that makes me even more angry. I can't believe I didn't notice that. Ew. Now I'm pissed.
Yeah, they dipped out real early.
They sure did. So then Erica doesn't even say goodbye to the girls. And she's like, whatever, we live close to each other. Great. And Casey admits that she's happy she doesn't have to say goodbye to Erica. I'll give her that one. And she said the whole thing felt like high school. I will also give her that one. Joey says that Erica is really good at brushing things off. And they're all sort of having this casual conversation about Erica's problem. And Chanel says she knows she has to do something. So it's only episode 3. We'll see where that goes. Ashley calls her dad again.
Of course she does.
And reminds him that he has a spa appointment that day. And he says, no, they canceled it. And she brags that she's
holding... No, he says he canceled it because he just wasn't feeling like going.
Oh, okay. And she says that she's like, she wants kudos for folding the sheets that her parents packed for her. And she says she didn't meet anybody. And then she says, I'll call you when I get in the car. I can't.
I also was a little confused because, as we know, they arrive there in a party bus, but then they all leave in separate, like, black cars.
Yeah, I know.
Like, why didn't the party bus just come back, drive them home?
I have no idea. And then Ashley also admits that she's like, I missed my parents and I'm not embarrassed to admit it.
Not surprised at all.
No. And Casey is wearing more animal print, but this cheetah print dress, you could still wear it today. It just fits her perfectly and it's really cute.
Yeah, it is cute. That's cute.
I said it. And Casey jokes that she had a great time and they all laugh. Chanel cries again. And she says that she struggles to bring people together and she feels like she failed.
Yeah, I don't understand why Chanel is putting all this onus on herself to make everyone be friends. Like, it's weird to me. I could understand being like, I would be very frustrated if my friends weren't getting along, but I would not place the blame on myself. Like, I don't understand why she's blaming herself. It just seems weird.
Yeah. I don't know. It is
like, how do you think that's your fault? Like, you know, Erica's a drunken mess and not a great person. And I don't know. It's like, why are you responsible for that?
I almost see it as like hangover remorse or something, you know, like maybe she's just in her feels because she's hungover and she feels like she caused all this drama by inviting people. And so she's beating herself up. It's like when you wake up and wonder what you said the next day kind of thing, but gone worse.
But she, I mean, but she kind of backed it up in her confessional as well. And she wasn't hungover then. So it's sad and strange to me all at the same time.
Yeah, agreed. But that's it for this episode. And next episode, we see Hal put a ring on Ashley's finger. We're going to get a big laugh out of that, I can tell. Something about Amanda's mom. The ladies go to like a single Jewish sleepaway camp. I'm excited to see that. We meet Chanel's ex-boyfriend. We get Erica. We get Rob. And we get Erica with another dude at a club.
Well, and I think that we also get Babs.
Yeah.
It looked like Babs was at the club with them. So I'm very excited for that.
Hashtag more Babs.
Yeah. All the Babs, all the time. Well, that's it, you guys. We hope you're having a wonderful spring and we will be back with you again in 2 weeks.
Thanks for listening to another episode of One Hit Wonderful.
You can find us online on Twitter and Instagram at One Hit Pod. You can email us at franklymareb@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Nana's Mink.
And you can find me on Twitter at Hey It's Mare B.
Please remember to rate and subscribe. And have a great week, guys. We'll talk to you soon.